and welcome to Soccer Portal X Daily. What a weekend it's been, from St James A Park to Elland Road, from the Scottish Cup to the National League, and honestly, if you missed any of it, you've come to exactly the right place.
Absolutely brilliant weekend of football, and I don't say that lightly. Bournemouth at Newcastle, Leeds dismantling Wolves, Bromley making history, and Frank Lampard doing something I genuinely didn't see coming at Coventry City.
Let's start at St James Park, because I think Andoni Iraola deserves every single word we're about to give him. Bournemouth went to Newcastle, a ground that swallows lesser sides whole, and they were absolutely magnificent in a 2-1 win that felt like a statement from a group of players who refused to let their manager leave quietly.
And look, there were people this week, and I include a few pundits I won't name, who were muttering about distraction, about whether the squad could handle the news of Iraola going, and Bournemouth's players basically looked at those concerns and laughed them out of the building.
Marcus Tavernier said after the game that they're running that extra yard harder for him, which is one of those quotes that sounds like a cliche until you actually watch the performance and think, yes, actually, you can see it, you can feel it in every pressing trigger and every recovery run.
That's the mark of a genuinely special manager, isn't it? The fact that his departure announcement hasn't caused the wheels to come off, it's actually galvanized them, and that tells you everything about the culture Iraola has built on the South Coast over the last couple of years.
I mean, honestly, the thing about Iraola that gets me is how quietly extraordinary his work has been. He took a Bournemouth side that many expected to be in a relegation scrap and turned them into a genuinely coherent, high-pressing, tactically sophisticated outfit that beats top-half sides on a fairly regular basis.
And now the big question, Alex, where does he go next? Because I've seen Tottenham mentioned, I've seen one or two European clubs floating around, and quite frankly, whoever gets him is getting one of the most underrated tactical minds in European football right now.
Tottenham would be fascinating, wouldn't it? Because the profile fits, he's proven he can work without a massive budget, he gets the best out of players who others have written off, and Spurs desperately need someone who can impose a clear identity rather than just lurching from one crisis to the next.
Although knowing Spurs, they'll spend 6 weeks deliberating and then announce someone completely unexpected at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night, but yes, in an ideal world, Iraola at Tottenham is a genuinely exciting prospect and I think the fans would get behind it immediately.
Meanwhile, on the other side of that result, Eddie Howe says he's hurt by the frustrations of the Newcastle fans, and look, I have some sympathy for him, but when you're losing at home to Bournemouth and your side looks as disjointed as they did on Saturday, the supporters have every right to voice their feelings.
I think the problem at Newcastle right now is that there's a gap between the ambition the club has been selling and the reality of what's happening on the pitch. And Howe is a good manager, I genuinely believe that, but something isn't clicking this season and he needs to find the answer quickly.
The injury situation hasn't helped him, to be fair, and I don't want to pile on a manager who's clearly working under real constraints, but the manner of that defeat, the way Bournemouth moved through them at times, will have stung the Geordie faithful and rightly so.
Right, let's move south well, further south, to Elland Road, because Leeds United put on a proper show against Wolves and Daniel Farke's side are now 9 points clear of the bottom three, which sounds comfortable until Farke himself comes out and says they still need more points, which is either admirable caution or the most Yorkshire thing ever said.
Ha, it is very Farke, isn't it? And I mean that as a compliment, because the man has been relentlessly focused all season and he's not about to start getting carried away now just because they've put three past a Wolves side who, quite frankly, look like a team that's already mentally checked out of the Premier League.
Which brings us to Rob Edwards, who came out after that 3-0 defeat and said the writing's on the wall for Wolves, and I respect the honesty, I genuinely do, because there's something almost refreshing about a manager who doesn't stand there and tell you they're still fighting when clearly they are not.
It's a sad end to what felt like a promising project at Molineux, and I think Edwards is a decent manager who's been let down by a squad that simply doesn't have the quality to compete at this level, but the writing has been on that wall for quite some time now, and relegation looks inevitable.
The question now is what Wolves do in the Championship. Do they bounce back quickly like Leeds did, or do they become one of those clubs that drifts for a few years, and I think that depends entirely on whether they keep their best players and back whoever comes in as manager.
Now, let's talk about something that genuinely made me smile this weekend. Bromley Football Club, promoted to League One for the first time in their history after Notts County's defeat by Barnet, and if you don't feel something warm in your chest when a club like Bromley reaches a milestone like that, I'm not sure football is for you.
Oh, I absolutely love this story. Bromley are a proper non-league club with a proper community behind them, and League One football is going to feel like a completely different world for them next season, but they've earned every single second of it and I cannot wait to see how they get on.
It's the beauty of the football pyramid, isn't it? The fact that on the same weekend Wolves are being relegated from the top flight, Bromley are celebrating promotion to the third tier, and somewhere in that contrast is everything that makes English football genuinely unique in the world.
And Notts County losing to Barnet to effectively hand Bromley the promotion, I mean, there's a certain poetry to that, the oldest football league club in the world inadvertently gifting a historic moment to a club from South London, and football just keeps writing these stories.
Right, we have to talk about Frank Lampard and Coventry City, because this is a story I don't think has got nearly enough attention. Coventry are going up to the Premier League for the first time in 25 years, and Lampard, who many had written off as a manager after his Chelsea and Everton stints, has pulled off something genuinely remarkable.
I'll be honest with you, Alex, when Lampard took that job I raised an eyebrow, because the narrative around him as a manager had become quite negative and I wasn't sure the Championship was the right environment for him to rebuild, but he has absolutely silenced every single one of his critics and I'm big enough to say I was wrong.
What I find fascinating about it is the way he's managed the dressing room. Coventry aren't the most glamorous squad in the Championship, they don't have the biggest budget, but Lampard has clearly got them believing in something, and that belief has carried them over the line in what must be one of the most emotional promotions in recent memory for that fan base.
25 years is a long time that supporters who were children the last time Coventry were in the top flight, who are now bringing their own kids to the Coventry Building Society Arena, and next season those kids are going to watch Premier League football, which is just a lovely thing when you strip away all the cynicism.
And for Lampard personally, this feels like a genuine redemption arc, because the criticism after Chelsea and Everton was fierce, some of it fair, some of it less so, but he's gone away, taken a job that wasn't the easy option, and delivered something tangible and historic, and that deserves real recognition.
It also raises the question of whether he stays at Coventry in the Premier League or whether bigger clubs come calling, and I think if he's smart, he stays, he builds something, he proves he can manage at the top level with a smaller club, because that would be the most compelling version of the Lampard managerial story.
Agreed, and Coventry in the Premier League is genuinely good for the league because you want clubs from different cities, different communities, different histories involved, and the Sky Blues bring all of that plus a fan base that has been incredibly patient and incredibly loyal through some very difficult years.
Quick word on the Scottish Cup, because Neil Lennon has taken Dunfermline to the final after a penalty shootout win over Falkirk, and he said it's up there with anything he's achieved in football, which is a big statement from a man who won titles with Celtic and managed in the Champions League, but you know what? I believe him.
Context is everything in football, isn't it? And for Lennon, coming back to management at this level, rebuilding his career, taking Dunfermline to a National Cup final, that will mean something deeply personal that a Champions League night at Celtic Park perhaps couldn't replicate in quite the same way.
They now wait to see whether they face Celtic or St Mirren in the final, and either way it's a brilliant occasion for Scottish football. Celtic would be the glamour tie obviously, but St Mirren in a cup final would be a proper underdog story and I'd be very happy watching either one.
Now, we can't close without mentioning the World Cup train ticket fiasco, because FIFA have waded into the row over those absolutely eye-watering fares in New Jersey. £111 for a train ticket to a World Cup match is not a price, it's a hostage situation, and FIFA are right to call it a chilling effect on the tournament.
I mean, the 2026 World Cup is supposed to be this great celebration of football coming to North America, and if ordinary fans, not corporate hospitality types, actual football supporters, can't afford to get to the ground because the train fare costs more than their match ticket, then something has gone catastrophically wrong with the planning.
And the New Jersey governor pushing back on FIFA's criticism is a bit rich, quite frankly, because the whole point of hosting a World Cup is that it's accessible, it's a festival for everyone, and pricing fans out of the journey to the stadium before they've even bought a pie and a program is a spectacular own goal.
There's still time to sort it out, and I genuinely hope they do, because the football itself at that tournament is going to be spectacular. And it would be a real shame if the lasting memory was queues of frustrated fans trying to work out how to get to a stadium in New Jersey on a budget that doesn't involve remortgaging their house.
Right, let's bring it home. What a weekend it's been, and if I had to pick one image to sum it up, it's Iaola on the touchline at St James Park, composed and brilliant as ever, his players running themselves into the ground for a man they clearly adore, and that to me is what great management looks like.
For me, it's the Bromley fans, wherever they were watching, whoever they were with, finding out that Notts County had lost and realizing that their club, their little club from South London, is going to League One next season, because that kind of joy is what football is actually for.
Right, that's your lot from us on Soccer Portal X Daily. Have a brilliant evening, enjoy whatever football is still to come this weekend, and we will be back tomorrow with all the reaction, the fallout, and whatever chaos the football gods decide to throw at us next.